Muy buenos días, amados hermanos y amigos presentes, y los que están conectados a través del satélite Amazonas.
Good morning, beloved brethren and friends present, and for those who are connected through the satellite Amazonas and the satellite Eutelsat 8 and different means of communication. There in Monterrey with our brother Epifanio López, the Reverend Epifanio López, where the missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín is. May God bless him greatly and keep him healthy and strong. And also his voice. May he keep him with a clear voice and help him at all times to continue moving forward in the midst of the people. And thus to be, to thus continue being of a blessing for the divine program in this third pool. May God bless you greatly, missionary Miguel Bermúdez Marín. And to everyone visiting us in this occasion as well, may you be welcome. And may God bless you greatly also. And for those who are from here, may God bless you greatly as well. Let us search in our Bibles, in Isaiah, chapter 52, which was the scripture that Dr. William Soto Santiago read to us there, in this subject that we will be seeing and hearing, the presence of God and the name of God. Preached on January 26, 2009 in Santa Marta, Colombia. Which today, December 8, 2024, we will be seeing and hearing. Isaiah chapter 52, verse 5 and on tells us, "Now therefore, what have I here, saith the Lord, that my people is taken away from naught? They that rule over them make them to howl, saith the Lord, and my name continually every day is blasphemed. Therefore, my people shall know my name. Therefore, they shall know in that day that I am he that doth speak. Behold, it is I." There upward he writes the name. And he also draws Star of David. "How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him that bringeth good tidings, that publisheth peace, that bringeth good tidings of good, that publisheth salvation, that saith unto Zion, Thy God reigneth." And he draws Star of David to the left. And there at the end, he writes on "Thy God reigneth," Revelation 19:11-19. And "Thy God reigneth," he also draws a cornerstone and the ages, and an arrow towards the cornerstone there to the left. "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye, when the Lord shall bring again Zion, the presence of God and the name of God." You may please be seated. He tells us in the message, the fold of the Good Shepherd, preached on May 4th, 2003, in Monterrey, Mexico. And he says, we find that the Hebrew people, which is a type and figure of the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ of the heavenly Israel, is the fold that God brought out of Egypt and took to the Promised Land. And God led them through the prophet Moses. God through His Holy Spirit in the prophet Moses. And He shepherded them through the wilderness, gave them the spiritual food, and also gave them physical food. In a writing, here He leaves to us on a paper or on a notebook, Moses coming out of Egypt with the Hebrew people to go to the promised land. Joshua continued the work. And he writes, HS above Joshua, Holy Spirit. Genesis 15. There is a scripture there, and he writes, in the fourth generation they shall come hither again, Lutheran, Wesleyan, Pentecostal, and the fourth, the Word. In the fourth generation, the Word came in Moses and Joshua. Jesus moving forward with His followers to the promised land of the Holy Spirit, the heavenly body, and entering into the dispensation of the kingdom, and the kingdom of God in the spiritual realm. In each age, an exodus is carried out to enter with the Holy Spirit in each messenger into each age of the kingdom of God in His church. An exodus from the denominational world to the quickened word in each age. And at the last day, he continued writing all like this, going downward. And at the last day, under the great voice of the trumpet, and at the last day, to enter with the angel of the Lord into the dispensation of the kingdom to be transformed, and to enter into the kingdom of God physically with eternal glorified bodies, like the one of the Lord Jesus Christ, to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb, and then to the millennial kingdom. Now he continues saying in the message, and then when they had to enter into the promised land, we find that Moses had divided, before crossing over to the other side of Jordan, he had already divided the territory to 2.5 tribes. But he could not cross over the other side because he had smitten the second rock twice. And God told him to speak to that rock so that the rock would give him waters. There's another writing here. In a portion which was placed in a Bible study, the portion of the message adoption, on page 30, it says, on that message, and there to the side, he writes, but now, Brother Branham says, but now on forward, then did you notice Moses, that great miracle performer that brought down Israel down through the land and brought them up to the promised land, but did not place their inheritance to them? He did not give them their inheritance. He led them up to the land. But Joshua divided the land to the people. To the side, he writes, Moses equals Jesus, Joshua equals the Holy Spirit. Is that right? And Christ brought the church up to the place to where their possession was made to them, was given to them, just the Jordan to cross, but the Holy Spirit is the one who sets the church in order. The Joshua of today puts the church in its order, giving to each one gifts, places, position. And he is the voice of God speaking through the inner man that Christ has saved, the Holy Spirit. Now, do you get that much of it? Now, we're getting over into the book of Ephesians. Now, the same way, he's positionally placing the church where they belong. Notice, and where do we belong to? To the age of the cornerstone. There is where the Holy Spirit has placed us. Now, our brother William keeps saying, and now Moses, because of what he did, and now Moses could not cross over to the promised land. But Moses, being such a noble man, who loved the people of God so much, the people that God had placed under his ministry, asked God to give him a leader who would enter it and go before the people and take the people into the promised land, and thus continue the work that Moses begun. And God told him, who that chosen man of God was. He told him, God told him, and the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. That is there in Numbers. Let us see. Numbers 26 or 27. Let us see. Numbers 27. Verse 15 says, and Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as a sheep which have no shepherd. And there to the right he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes to the left, to be not as a sheep which has no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua. And there above Joshua he writes, YHWH. And the Lord said unto Moses, take thee Joshua, the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him, and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation, and give him a charge in their sight. And thou shalt put some of thine honor upon him, that all the congregation of the children of Israel may be obedient. And he shall stand before Eleazar the priest, who shall ask counsel for him after the judgment of Urim before the Lord. And his word shall they go out, and at his word they shall come in, both he and all the children of Israel with him, even all the congregation. And Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and he took Joshua and set him before Eleazar the priest, and before all the congregation. And he laid his hands upon him, and gave him a charge, as the Lord commanded by the hand of Moses. Notice in Joshua also, in the third chapter, there it shows us, on verse 7 of Joshua, on this third chapter says, and the Lord said unto Joshua, this day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel. There he drew a star of David to the left, and at the right, another little star of David. And he writes, by crossing the Jordan equals by being transformed today. This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. And above that, he writes, Zechariah 3, Revelation 11, 3-7, and 7-2 of Revelation. And above Moses, he writes, First Moses. And so I will be with thee. Above that, also, Joshua equals Second Moses. Joshua. And he writes, and Second Moses. Now, also in a writing that he left us, where he writes, Moses equals forerunner of Joshua. Joshua equals Christ, first coming. Joshua equals Christ, second coming. Joshua equals the messenger of the last day. Moses. Moses equals forerunner of Joshua. Joshua equals Christ, first coming. Joshua equals Christ, second coming. Joshua equals the messenger of the last day. And further down, also there he writes, the sign, evidence of the promised land is the Son of Man. Now, our brother William continues to say, who was Joshua? Joshua was Moses' main helper, who was before the armies of the Hebrew people. And he was also the one who remained in the temple, in the tabernacle, even though Aaron was the high priest. It was a blessing and privilege and joy for Moses to see that the elected of God to continue with the work Moses was carrying out and to bring the people into the promised land was one of his helpers. He was one who already knew how to work in the work of God. He knew the people, and he knew how to win the battles that the people had to fight, because he had already been trained. And he was Moses' helper, one of the helpers. It is always good that one of the helpers is the one who continues the work of the person, of the minister whose days end here on earth. A few hours ago in this morning, was it this morning that departed, was it this morning or last night? The minister, Reverend Emilio Rafael Arias Torres, departed. Pastor from Barranquilla, Colombia. Yeah, it was this morning. This morning. He was being under operation for something, and it seems that he couldn't withstand the surgery. And I had gotten to meet our brother Emilio. My condolences to all the congregation there and to all the family of our brother Emilio Rafael Arias Torres, whom we will soon see in his eternal and glorified body. And the congregation there can wait for the instructions of the missionary Miguel Bermudez Marin so that they may place there the pastor who will continue the work there in Barranquilla. There with the congregation. Now notice, our brother William is telling us precisely about this. It is always good that one of the helpers is the one that continues the work of the person, of the ministers whose days end here on earth. There is also a place here where our brother William wrote to us. He says, while Moses was alive, he passed on the ministerial position to Joshua, who was his successor. Joshua was a prophet like Moses and a leader to the people. Now notice the excerpt that we read this morning on page 5b on the Book of Quotations. Notice how our brother Branham speaks to us, and our brother William also writes there on page 5b, paragraph 51. I had the privilege a few moments ago talking to my wife and my little Joseph, the little boy who I believe that God will let take my place when I'm finished in this life. And he drew a cornerstone in the ages and the seventh age. And in I am finished, he makes an arrow towards the seventh age, and the arrow from little Joseph, the little boy who I, an arrow there towards the gap. Now he writes, Joseph equals a type and figure of the second coming of Christ. He wrote that above, and below he writes, it is the same as with David's son, Solomon, in whom Christ was reflected as King. And Joseph, Brother Branham's son, and Joseph takes the place of the fourth Elijah, and he continues with the message. But he cannot take the place of the fifth Elijah, not him. Now, everything that we have been talking about in this morning, what we spoke this morning, we will put it together with today's study as an introduction. Now, notice our brother William goes on to say, and just like Moses was glad, and all the people were glad also, they already knew Joshua. That is, he wasn't a strange person. They already knew Joshua. And they knew that he was a good, brave man, a hard worker in the work of God, and that God was with him. Now notice also here, on another writing, our brother William tells us, Joshua being magnified equals the Holy Spirit and the angel of the last day being magnified after the transformation and reigned in the millennium. Joshua equals the Holy Spirit. Joshua equals the leader of the last day. The Jordan, dash, death to cross on dry ground, to be transformed without seeing death. The promised land, dash, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the glorified body, and the millennium. And also in another writing here, he says, God magnifies Joshua in spirit in his angel, since the day he crosses Jordan, death on dry ground without seeing death, he receives the adoption, the transformation of the body. There he is magnified, glorified. Moses equals Christ Jesus, the crossing of the Red Sea. Jesus Christ crossing over the other side of death, he overcame it and resurrected, glorified and magnified by God. Joshua equals Christ in his angel crossed over the Jordan on dry ground. All those are post-it notes on little yellow pieces of paper. Now notice how that successor of Moses, whose name was changed by God through Moses, he named him Joshua, name that he heard when he told him those four consonants back then, YHWH. Now notice, in the message, the gospel will return to the Jews, preached on September 14, 2014 in Cali, Colombia, he tells us, perhaps not everyone's name works in other languages, but the name of Jesus works in all the languages on earth, and even in heaven as well, because what it means in all languages is Savior, Redeemer. And when he says, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which come down out of heaven from my God, and my new name. That is Revelation chapter 3, verse 12. And if the name of God for salvation, for redemption, was mysterious in the first coming of Christ, the name of God to claim will be even more mysterious in the second coming of the Lord. But we will leave that alone for now. But notice on page 131 in the Book of the Seals, our brother Branham tells us, from page 150, he tells us, did you ever know that the name of Jehovah is not correct? There he writes, above anyone, there on that corner, he writes, J-V-H-U, And to the left he writes, YHWH, there in that paragraph. Anyone knows? Dr. Bailey? You know, that's true. The translator could never translate it. It spells J-V-H-U. It isn't Jehovah. They couldn't touch it. They don't know what it is. Called it Jehovah. But it wasn't his name. Look, every time a victory is won or something goes on, a name is changed. Look at the days of Abraham. He was first Abram and never could have the baby until his name was changed to Abraham. And Sarah, S-A-R-R-A, could not have nothing but a dead womb until her name was changed to S-A-R-A-H, Sarah. There they put an H at the end. Jacob means supplanter, deceiver. And that's what he did. He put sheepskin on himself and deceived his prophet father to take the birthrights. He put poplar sticks in the water, speckled them, scared the cattle when they was pregnant with their young to make speckled cattle and sheep. Nothing but a deceiver. But one night, he caught a hold of something real, and he knew it was real, and he stayed with it and held on until he overcome. And his name was changed and called Israel, meaning a prince with the power before God. Is that right? Every overcomer. And he writes there on the side, going downwards, across, a change of name to the one who obtains the victory of divine love. Is that right? Every overcomer. Simon was a fisherman, but when his faith caught, and he knew that was Jesus, when he told him he was the Messiah, and told him who his name was and what his father's name was, he was overcome and changed from Simon to Peter. Here at the bottom in the book, he writes there of which he was speaking about. In the blue one, he writes below at the bottom, YHWH. And then in between he places, after the Y he puts an E, after the H he puts an O, and after the W he puts an A. That was how they made it for the translation. But we saw everything that our brother Branham tells us there, that this is not his name, but to make it pronounceable. Now, he goes on to say, Saul, good name. Saul was a king one time in Israel, but he, a Saul, didn't fit an apostle. Might be all right for a king, but not an apostle. So Jesus changed his name from Saul to Paul. Look at the sons of the thunders and on down. And Jesus, his name on earth, was Redeemer Jesus. When he was on earth, he was the Redeemer, that's true. But when he conquered death and hell and overcome them and ascended on high, he received a new name. That's the reason you holler the way they do and they don't get nothing. You'll be revealed in the thunders. There on the right, he writes, revealed in thunders, new name. See, notice the mysteries. He is coming riding. There's got to be something to change this church. You know that. There's got to be something. Notice, no man knowed but himself. Now notice, no man knowed but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name was called the Word of God. Oh my, notice. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goes a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treaded the winepress of the fierceness and the wrath of Almighty God. And he has on his vesture and on his thigh a name written. That is, on his thigh, on his flesh. King of kings and Lord of lords. There comes the Messiah. There he is. Now notice what our brother Branham was telling us in the message Shalom on page 25. He says, the same thing Jesus, he was taken from the pit, supposedly where he was dead, and raised up and sat at the right hand of the Majesty. No man has seen God at any time, but the only begotten of the Father. And when he leaves there, the trumpets will sound, and every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess. See, he's the Prince of Prosperity. There to the left he writes, Joseph. Look what Egypt done then. It saved the whole world. A drought came on. So it will be at the coming of the Son of Man. The knee, every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess to him being. And he drew a star of David to the left. He was all showed in types. But God knew exactly when he would come. He knows exactly when he come. No matter how many days had before that, he had his Messiah. He showed them in types what was coming. Just exactly like he showed us the seven church ages, what would come. And there he drew a star of David to the left. Just exactly what he showed us what would come when he set that light up there in Revelation 2 to show the world. That was the sign of the Son of Man. At the top, he writes, the seven angels revealed. When he sent the seven angels to reveal the seven messengers that had been down through there and show the loose ends, each angel coming each day and revealing the loose ends that Luther left and Wesley left and Pentecost left, is all represented in there. And in the very type and shadow of the great Shalom, Jehovah, Yahweh, see, exactly, throw it in the skies. And there he draws the Star of David to the left. And below the Star of David, he writes JVHU. And he drew another Star of David, of which, here in this message, he had a card. And there's another one, but let's turn to this one. We had already shown this one. But so that you can see it as I read it. Now notice. There he writes. In the and to the most holy place of his temple, his church. Which is the age of the cornerstone, in the year of Jubilee of the age of the cornerstone, and he drew a cornerstone and the ages, the last two, the sixth and the seventh. The Messiah comes with the name of God in him. His name will be the name of God. It is in his angel. And there he writes, YHWH. And in YH he writes I, and in WH he writes M. And notice in between parentheses from right to left, he writes YHWH. If you read it to the left, from the left to the right, it would be HWHY. And to the side, notice he writes there, I will be. And in between parentheses, the being. Now notice, let us turn now to page 211 on the Book of the Ages, edited. Let us see something there. On page 211, page 211 says, it also says here that he is going to give the overcomer a white stone and in his circles it, not on, in the stone a new name, that is, and on the stone a new name, which the owner alone knows. Now the idea of a new name is a familiar one. Abraham was changed to Abraham, Sarai to Sarah, Jacob to Israel, Simon to Peter, Saul to Paul. These names either brought about a change or were given because of a change. It was only after Abraham and Sarai had their names changed by the Lord that they were made ready to receive the coming son. In Jacob's case, he had to overcome and then he was called a prince. In the case of Simon and Saul, when they had received the Lord, their change came. And today, each one of us, true believers, has had a change in name. We are Christians. And he writes, name, dispensation. It is a name common to all of us. But one day, we will have another change. We will of a certainty receive a new name. And above that, he writes, in the adoption, the one of the Father. It could well be that name was our true and original name written in the Lamb's Book of Life from the foundation of the world. He knows the name, but we do not. One day, and he writes, the eighth day, one day at his good pleasure, we will know also. Now in this other book, at the bottom he writes, in the dispensation of grace, - Christians, Miss Jesus. That is Miss the J, what he writes is the J. In the dispensation of grace, - Christians, Miss J, the J of Jesus. In the dispensation of the kingdom, a question mark, and next to it, the new name of the Lord. In other words, what are they called? They were Christians. Well, now they will also be called in a certain way. And to the side, he wrote, the new name of the Lord. Now notice, what he continues to tell us here, in this message, we are reading, the fault of the Good Shepherd. If the name of God for salvation, for redemption, I'm going to repeat this paragraph. If the name of God for salvation, for redemption, was mysterious in the first coming of Christ, the name of God to claim will be even more mysterious in the second coming of the Lord. But we will leave that alone for now. But there will be no contradiction. But there will be no contradiction in the name that was given to Moses as the name of God, which is I Am, or YHWH. There will be no contradiction between that name and the name of Jesus and the new name of the Lord. See, there will be no contradiction in that. Now, that is why I spoke to you that what was spoken this morning goes together with all this. But we will leave that alone because that will be open when the seventh seal is opened to the church. And then the Hebrew people will see him coming with a new name. On page 41 on the Book of Quotations, paragraph 334. He tells us, Oh, Joseph, when he's seen little Benjamin standing there, he writes to the side, Joseph, that is his little brother. You see little Benjamin now up. Over yonder, sitting over there, the tribes of the earth of the Jews returning back there, where there'll be 144,000 of them standing there to receive Christ when they see him coming. They'll say, lo, this is our God whom we waited on. Then they'll see he's pierced. Where did these come? He said, in the house of my friend. And they'll wail and they'll cry. And each family, their tribes of David and Nephilim, and all will separate themselves, each family, and weep to themselves when they see him standing in there. And on the left, your cornerstone and the ages. And he writes Revelation 4:1. When they see him standing in there, the one they pierced. And at the top he writes, the Jews will see Christ come and will say, this is our God. In the message, Hebrews chapter 2, that is on the second part, which is in this book, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine of the Church. This is booklet number 6. Here tells us on page 34, this is on paragraph 531. They said to them, them Jews, they said, are you coming back to die in the homeland? Said, we are coming back to see the Messiah. And there he drew a star of David to the left. Where is he at? He's supposed to be here. Brother, when you see the fig tree putting forth its bud, he said, this generation shall not pass until all be fulfilled. Look at the revival with the foremost. Look at the revival with the church. Look at the revival coming in with the Jews. They're watching for the coming of the Messiah. And he drew a cornerstone to the right. The church, the Spirit-filled church, the bride with the virgins, with the oil in their lamps, will go into the wedding supper. The Jew will say, this is that. There is our God. And he writes to the right, this is him. There is our God who we waited on. And to the left he drew a star of David. There is where your 144,000, that Russellites got mixed up in. There is those Jews standing there that will receive him. They'll say, there is our God who we've waited on. They'll see him say, where did you get them? Where did you get them scars in your hands? He said, I got them in the house of my friend. That's right. The house of my friends. What will he do? The Gentile church will be taken into the glory. And the bride will be married to Christ. How did Joseph make himself known to his people? He dismissed every Gentile from his presence. And there to the side he writes, Joseph, he certainly did. What will happen to the remnant of the woman's seed? There he writes, Revelation 12. The dragon spurted water out of his mouth to make war. Jesus said, they'll be cast into the outer darkness, and there'll be weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth. The great hour of persecution and trials will come to the Gentile church. There he drew a star of David to the left. What will take place then? When the martyrdom comes, when God has separated everything from the Jews yonder, when God has what? Separated. That is a work of the reaping angels. The ministries of Moses and Elijah. Jesus will return as Joseph did. And he drew a star of David to the right. When they heard Joseph, when he dismissed all of his guards and everything else, and he seen little Benjamin, and them standing there, and them repenting for killing Joseph, they thought they killed Joseph. And here he was standing before them. And he said, I am Joseph. I'm your brother. Then they really trembled. He's Joseph. Now we know him. When he'll say, I'm Jesus, there above, in a Bible study, our brother William writes, YHWH equals I am. Equals, yo soy. In other words, they place that excerpt that I'm reading here when he'll say, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah. YHWH equals I am, equals yo soy. Now notice, in the message, the true vine, preached on March 1st, 1992, in San Jose dos Campos, Brazil, notice what our brother William tells us here in this small part. He says, and we find that that pillar of fire, when he was talking to Moses, said to him, I am that I am. And thou shalt say unto the people, I am has sent me. What we were talking about, notice, he heard the pronunciation of the name. Yet he went there saying, I am has sent me to you. It is like saying, William has sent me to you. Now notice. But when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus, remember that was in the Old Testament. And in the New Testament, notice, he then comes in his first coming with the name that Moses named his successor, which was Joshua. And notice, he says, I am has sent me. But when he appeared to Saul of Tarsus and he asked for his name, he told him, I am Jesus. There he put the I am. And then he concluded by telling him Jesus. Now, to Moses he said, I am that I am. To Saul he said, I am Jesus. Which was, which is, and which is to come. Now did you see it? Now notice, with that he said to Moses, who then places the name he heard, which we will read how our brother William tells us there. He names him with the pronunciation that he heard. He named Joshua to Oshea, the son of Nun. And that name comes to be the name of redemption. Notice in his first coming. That is why he says that there will be no contradiction between the name Jesus and the new name. Now notice here on the side, he writes next to when he'll say, I'm Jesus, I'm the Messiah. He writes, I am Jesus, I am the Messiah. He wrote that to the side here in the booklet. And our brother Branham continues to say, they'll say, oh my, now, what will receive? It was all done for the glory of God. It won't be his. Well, they could hear him weeping plumb over the Pharaoh's palace, Joseph weeping for them. Wait till Jesus see those Jews that he had to smite blind to let us Gentile have a chance to come in. That'll be an hour, I'm telling you. He'll take those Jews. Don't you never worry. Them Jews will be saved. Yes, sir. There's got to be there. And that's my idea of it. I can't see it nowhere else in the scripture. You've got to keep them three groups together again. And we find all of that a little more detailed in the message, The Anointed Ones at the End Time, of our brother Branham. Now notice, in the scripture of Genesis 45 from 1 to 8, which was placed there in a Bible study, Genesis 45 verse 1 says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren, and he wept aloud. And the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. Now notice, here, in this writing, in this Bible study, and the house of Pharaoh heard, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. And he writes above that, YHWH. See that there is no contradiction between the name Jesus and the name Jose or Joseph? As simple as that. Now notice, does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they come near. And he said, I am Joseph your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now, he no longer reveals to them as the I am alone, but rather he reveals himself in the dispensation of the kingdom. I am Jose, as he told Saul in the dispensation of grace. I am Jesus. Now, he writes there, he reminds them of the history of his coming. Now notice, our brother William goes on to say, and then the Hebrew people will see him coming with a new name, for they did not receive him with the name Jesus or Yeshua, but they will recognize him with the new name. But that is a mystery that will be opened under the opening of the seventh seal of Revelation chapter 8, verse 1 and on. Now notice what he tells us in Isaiah, on chapter 44, verse 1 to 6. Yet now hear, O Jacob my servant, and Israel whom I have chosen, thus saith the Lord that made thee, and formed thee from the womb, which will help thee. Fear not, O Jacob, my servant, and thou, Jeshurun, whom I have chosen. For I will pour water upon him that is thirsty, and floods upon the dry ground. I will pour my spirit upon the seed, and my blessing upon thine offspring. There he draws Star of David to the right. And they shall spring up as among the grass, as willow by the water courses. One shall say, I am the Lord's. There on top of the Lord, he writes YHWH. And another shall call himself by the name of Jacob. And above Jacob, he writes Hebrews. And another shall subscribe with his hand unto the Lord, and surname himself by the name of Israel. And above that, he writes Church Bride. And he draws Star of David to the right. Now notice, in this other message, there he tells us, in the message, the things which must happen today, while the Lord Jesus Christ remains on the throne of intercession, preached on Sunday, November 11th, 2001, here in Calle, Puerto Rico, it says, now, we have come to the time when at any moment, the number of God's elect will be completed. Christ will leave the throne of the Father. And at that time, the squeeze will begin, or would have already begun, or will be fully in action. The squeeze prophesied by God through the Reverend William Branham and through the Scripture. But at that time, Christ in all of His fullness will be manifested in the fulfillment of the third pool. And by that time, the fullness of Christ will be manifested in His church. And this manifestation of the power of Christ will be so great that will shake the whole world. That is linked to the tenth vision, which will not be a public show, and of which the angel said to our brother Branham, you won't tell anyone anything about this. On 4a, on the book of quotations, there he shows us a portion where brother Branham tells us about this. He says, page 4a, paragraph 36, he said, "You've done just what I told you not to do, standing on the platform and trying to explain it and telling the people, I told you to keep it to yourself." And said, "Look what you've done. Look at the carnal impersonations you got rose. See?" And I hear people say that. And I hear people say, "Brother Branham, oh, the Lord give me a ministry. You got probably greater, yeah? But just like that? No. Never will be as long as I'm on earth." He told me that in the beginning, never will be, see, as long as I live. Now, he told me that. And I hear people say that. And I know it's wrong, but I just don't want how to tell them that. And there he writes, "Not as long as he's on earth." There to the right, he wrote it upward. And he also writes, the tenth vision, the two poles. The tenth vision, and below, he refers to the two poles that he's talking about that could not say, but he said them. And of the tenth vision, which in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, that third pool would be carried out, of which the name would be in all the pools. Later on, we will read it. That is, the name William is going to be in all stages, the I Am. Now notice, he says, he writes there, "Don't tell anyone." He also writes, "Don't tell anyone. I told you to keep it to yourself and not to tell anyone, nor preach it." Nor preach it. In other words, not to preach it. Now, our brother William continues to say, "You're not going to do like you did with the other pools, that is with the first and second, that you told the people and said how they worked, and then imitators arose. For the third pool, there will be no imitations. It will be in a reserved way. It won't be a public show, so no one can imitate. And it's connected or linked to a name." On page 99 of the book of quotations, where he shows us that this is an excerpt from the seventh seal. But notice what our brother William writes there. On paragraph 857, remember, Satan will try to impersonate. He'll try to impersonate everything that the church will do. He'll try to do it. We noticed it through the Antichrist. But this is one thing he cannot impersonate. That is the third pool. There be no mimics to this, see? Because he don't know it. There is no way for him to know it. It's the third pool. And he writes above, the seventh seal is the third pool. Satan will impersonate Dash, he did it in the ages. Now notice at what our brother William continues to say. That is why the Reverend William Branham was in that third pool in the tenth vision. He saw something there with a name. And when he woke up, he was looking for that name. And the angel said to him, the angel later told him, "Do you remember the name that you were looking for when you had the tenth vision?" In other words, it is connected to the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the eternal name of God, YHWH, in the way corresponding to its pronunciation for this end time. Now notice, in this Bible study, where he also wrote there in this subject, which the subject was similar to the one we're going to see today. This one was on January 26, 2009, which was titled "The Presence of God and His New Name." And above that he writes, "In a tenth cathedral, the most holy place today, YHWH, and he draws an arrow towards the cornerstone and the ages. And he also writes here in this study, here on page 4 of this study, he writes, "You'll be revealed in the thunders," because he's talking about page 150 of the Book of the Seals, the page we read a few minutes ago, where Brother Branham ends there in that part that says, "You'll be revealed in the thunders," and there Brother William writes, "It will be revealed in the thunders, which is the voice of Christ, the Holy Spirit, the angel of the covenant, coming to his church, walking upon peoples, nations, and tongues, upon the waters, and in the continent of the Americas, his foot on the earth." Now notice what he quoted us there, that the angel told him, "Remember the name that you were searching for when you dreamt about that, about it," which is on page 39 to 40. On 40, which is the continuation of paragraph 321, there is the part where he says, I said, "I don't understand that in there. That is, why in the little room in there?" And watch, he's always scriptural. He said, "Did not our Lord say, 'When thou prayest, be not like the hypocrites that like to make a show,'" said, "Enter into thy secret closet, and when you've done so, close the door. Then pray to your Father what seeth in secret, and he that seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." And he said, "You remember that name that you were hunting that time that you dreamt about?" And I said, "Yes." He said, "I'll meet you in there, and this time it won't be a public show." Now notice in this other message, the youth breaking barriers in evangelism with their faith set in Christ at the last day. He tells us, which was preached on April 30th, 2001, in Topo Chico, Monterrey, Mexico. He tells us, the first coming of Christ is in the context of the name YHWH, and so is the second coming. That is why there is something dual in that name. There is a duality, which is the simplest thing. The first and the second coming of Christ are in that name. Furthermore, the new name is in there in that name. So let's leave that alone. Leave it there alone, because otherwise, what we had as a subject for the ministers' meeting, we would not be able to have it. But someday that will be fully open. And this is the day. Now notice on page 140, in other words, it's in this dispensational day. This day of the age of the cornerstone, page 140. Now, all of this, notice, Brother Branham told us in the message, the rapture. He told us that it is a revelation. Now notice on page 140, paragraph 12:58. There he tells us, "But when I opened the Bible, the first little ribbon in the Bible was a very strange thing. Where it was when Solomon dedicated the temple of God, and the glory of God was so great, the Shekinah glory in the building, till the priests couldn't even minister. And then the next string was laying where Ezra returned and dedicated the temple. And the third little marker that my wife had gotten me and put in the Bible, not knowing, with my name on it, and so, there to the right, he draws Star of David, and he writes upward the name on it. And to the left, he writes the pillar of fire. He wrote it upward. And so forth was laying to Mark 11:22. And to the left, he writes Mark 11:22. And at the top he writes the name. And he writes William in Mark 11:22. She just stuck it in the Bible. And that's where it was at. That. If you say to this mountain, be moved. And all of you know when that scripture was in my mind, you take people, that's when those squirrels come right in. Into the, that's exactly. And then that strange thing of it was my favorite bird, robin. Picture was on the marker, the little bird with the red breast. And he writes, the squirrels also to the right going upward. And then my first meeting, message I'm to preach here, is at Phoenix, Arizona. Phoenix is something that can raise up out of nothing. That's what God does. He takes nothing, raises up something out of it. And there he draws Star of David to the right. And my message this afternoon is titled, for the next 30 or 40 minutes, Paradox. And on top he writes Phoenix, and he writes underneath, Jericho equals in the west. And at the bottom he writes, something would rise up out of Phoenix. And I want to read from a scripture that few years ago, that I would take a Bible and let you hand me the Bible when I first started my ministry. And just take your Bible, and many of you have seen me do it. Just hold it open like that and say, Lord, where is the message to me? It opened to Joshua, the first chapter, any Bible that you would hand me. Until one night a vision came, which you are familiar, and I seen that Bible come down from heaven. And I had with a collar on a cuff, like this went down the first 9 verses of Joshua. And to the right he draws Star of David. And at the bottom he writes, a collar on a cuff. There on top of that paragraph he writes, a collar. And he draw a collar to the left side. That is a lot of little links forming a collar. Now, our brother William continues to say here, don't beat your brains out, because God already thought of it. He planned it all. And God already designed it since before the foundation of the world. Therefore, what we need is for Him to reveal it in our time, in the way that He has promised to make these things known to us, including that mystery. And we do know that we were told that it is in the fulfillment of the 10th vision, where all that would be made known, would be revealed. He goes on to say, so, that's simpler than people can imagine. You know what makes it complicated? The complicated, the people find it. That is the complicated that the people find it to be. That revelation. But when you receive this revelation, you will say, oh my, but this is so simple and we hadn't seen it. Notice when you receive that revelation, you say, but this is so simple that we haven't seen it, but it is so simple that the simplicity that is there is what makes them not to see it. Well, let's leave, simplicity is always the veil. What veils any mystery is the simplicity. Therefore, let's leave that alone there. Now, noticing the message, the mighty God unveiled before us, tells us on page 11, on this message, it says, if we could stop here a moment, if it would be possible, and think of that tonight, of the message of the hour, the express thoughts of Jehovah, before the foundation of the world, we are told, our names were put on the Lamb's Book of Life. Then we can see the two sides, as I first said, why one is odd to the other. It must be that way. It was always. It always has been that way, and it always will be that way. He was the Word, and the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Now, God, back in the days of the Old Testament, we find that after He had appeared to His people in different forms, He veiled Himself behind old badger skins. There at the bottom He writes, the throne of God in heaven is materialized in a man on earth. And the name of God is manifested there. And to the right he draws a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes throne above. We find that how that Solomon, when he dedicated the temple of the Lord, and these badger skins was hanging there, the veil. How that he came in as a pillar of fire and as a cloud, and went down behind there and veiled himself to the outside world. But by faith Israel knew that he was back there. And to the left he writes, the throne. They knew he was there regardless of what any of the heathen would have to say. He was hid from the unbeliever, but the believer by faith knew he was back there. They had mercy, and he was at his mercy seat, which was a great secret. And he writes Revelation 8:1. And to the left he writes, the throne, and a cornerstone and the ages. You know, in the Old Testament, to enter behind that skin was death. They couldn't enter, as God told Moses. Speak unto Aaron that they could not come into the sanctuary at all times. He told him because of Aaron's son, who entered with strange fire and died. To enter behind that skin was death. Now to stay from behind it is death. And he writes to the side, veil. Then to enter into his glory was death. Now to stay away from his glory is death. That happened, of course, at the renting of the veil at Calvary, when the veil was rent, the old veil. Now to stay out of his presence is death. Then to enter his presence was death. See, it changes back and forth, and you must find the scripture to see what they were living in. And he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and he writes underneath that, the throne. And he also writes, it changes from one form to another. Now notice on the same message, on page 19, it tells us, but now as ever, the skin veil is what catches the traditions. They just can't believe that that is God making them people act like that, see? It's because God is veiled in his church in skin. Skin on it. That's right. He is hid from the unbeliever and revealed to the believer. Yes, sir. There he writes, they stumble on the veil of flesh. And he drew a cornerstone and the ages. And further below, he in this same message on page 19 of the Mighty God Unveiled Before Us, he says, we notice another thing in the Old Testament. I have the scripture here in Exodus that the old badger skins, what did it do? It hid the glory of God from the people. The badger skins, even people couldn't see it because it was a skin that held it. The skin was, three dots, the glory of God was behind the skin. And in between parentheses, veil. And now the glory of God is behind your skin. That's right. And the traditions don't see it. It's inside the veil where his word was. And he writes Revelation 10:8-11 and 11 verse 3, which are the ministries of Moses and Elijah. And to the left he writes, the glory of God hidden by the veil. What was on the inside of that skin back there? The old badger skins, which there was no beauty we should desire it. And when he was made flesh and dwelt among us, there is a message. I believe it's the mystery of the divine simplicity. Let me see if I brought it with me. Where he spoke that there was no beauty in him. He says he didn't have no title or anything. No. But you can put that message there as a reference, which there was no beauty we should desire it, and when it was made flesh and dwelt among us, it was still no beauty we should desire it. And now the same thing is today. There is nothing in a man or a woman that can be desired. It's what's in behind there. That's what it is. And he writes, what's behind the veil is what's important. Well, you say, That fellow, I know he used to be a drunkard. He used to do this. I don't care what he used to do. What's hid behind that skin? What is behind there, that's what counts. That's what the people is blinded. The skin blinds the people, see? They say, I remember when that woman used to. Let us see if I find here to have it for you here. Here it is. The Mystery of the Divine Simplicity, preached on November 3rd, 1997. Thanks to the brethren who sent it to me, he says. Just like when God came veiled in human flesh in the person of Jesus. Notice, what was great was the one inside that veil of flesh. But the veil of flesh was simple, a young carpenter from Nazareth. What greatness is there in a young carpenter, humanly speaking? There is no greatness there. There is no beauty in him to be desired. He doesn't have a big title of riches either. But the one inside that veil of flesh was called Jesus. But the one inside that veil of flesh called Jesus was the great one. See? It was the one who was inside of Jesus, the one that was great. But they looked and they saw a young carpenter. What beauty is there in a carpenter? When you see him working, they see him with a cap and a pencil hanging there, an apron. All full, dirty, rust from the rods. Most of the time, one cleans there with the hammer on the side. What beauty is there in him? None. But the greatness is what's inside that veil of flesh. I know what she used to, but what about now? See, they start pointing out, no, but this or that. They used to be like this. I know how she was, yet. But what is she now? They do not see the change. They're focused in the past, which they will have their past life in their hands. I know what she used to, but what about now? See, them skins that was once on the badgers, but now it's hiding the glory of God. You? Do you know something? That you hide the glory of God there behind that skin. That's great. I keep you behind the skin. You are in here reigning on the throne of my heart. You are here. You are behind here. Lord, no matter what they say about me, I know what's behind this veil. And you know what's behind your veil. Got it housed behind it. It was on an animal, but now it's housing the glory of God. And so can your skin be changed tonight to be made a house place for God. God dwelling in humanity. Now notice, in this message that we read a few minutes ago, Conduct, Order, and Doctrine, which is the message of questions and answers, there on page 319, on this booklet, on the book, is page 30, and is paragraph 495. He tells us, let us see here. Page 30, paragraph 495, it says, now, in this great time, the Jews cannot, 3 dots. I asked that rabbi, I said, Rabbi, would it be hard for you to believe the prophets? He said, I believe the prophets. I said, in Isaiah 9:6, What did he mean? Unto us a son is born? Who was he speaking of? He said, he was speaking of the Messiah. I said, then will the Messiah be born? Yes, he'd be born. He said, I said, there, if he's to be born, he'll have a mother. He said, yes, he has to have a mother, and he has to have a father too. I see my mother there. We will see my father soon. And we will also see all of our relatives soon in the resurrection. I said, absolutely. And would it be hard for you to believe that that would be that God, the great Jehovah, who opened the Red Sea, could not give birth to his baby by immaculate birth? See, there he was. He said, but you can't make him three gods. I said, he isn't three gods. I said, what relation will the Messiah be to God? He said, he will be God. I said, now you got it. Now you got it. He is God. That's exactly. Then he tried to tell me, he said, well, this man was a thief. This Jesus of Nazareth, he was a thief. I said, Rabbi, how was he a thief? Well, he said, your own scripture said that he went into a cornfield on the Sabbath day and took the corn. I said, now, Rabbi, you know better. More about the scripture than that. Your own scripture says that's legal. It's lawful for a man to go and eat as much corn as he wants to, but don't put it in his sack and take it out. Your own law, the rabbi. And he stood there a little bit. He believed it, because he witnessed. He said, after a while, he said, well, what caused John's eyes? Three dots said, how did you do it? I said, in the name of Jesus Christ. He didn't know, said, well, you can't cut God in three pieces. I said, he was the Jehovah made manifest in flesh, Rabbi. That's what he was. He was Jehovah in flesh. And he drew a Star of David to the right. His own human name, that was the redemption name. Because no other name is given under heaven that a man can be saved. Only through that human redemption name. The Lord Jesus Christ. That's right. He was God. He is God. He'll forever be God. That's exactly right. The Lord Jesus Christ. And notice on the front he writes, Jesus equals God's human name. Now notice, in this message, the result of a change of name, which was preached on July 14, 1998, in Puno, Peru, it tells us, the same angel of the covenant or angel of the Lord who delivered the Hebrew people through the prophet Moses came in human flesh in that veil of flesh called Jesus. He was the Word made flesh in the midst of the Hebrew people with his name for the work of redemption on Calvary's cross. And his name was Jesus. Now, let us turn to the Book of the Ages. Let us see on page 317, the edited ages, which is 360 on the book, on the Red Book in Spanish. There he writes, our Brother Branham says, the bride goes wherever the bridegroom is. She will never be left by him. She will never leave his side. She will share the throne with him. She will be crowned with his glory and honor. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God. And what is the name of God? Well, he was God with us, or Emmanuel. But that was not his given name. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. Luke 1:31. Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. John 5:43. Therefore, the name of God is Jesus. For that is the name he came in. He is Lord Jesus Christ. And what name does a woman take when she marries the man? She takes his name. It will be his name that is given unto the bride when he takes her to himself. Now notice, further on, here on 318, on your book in Spanish is 357, where he says, I will write my new name upon him. So, it's 353. In English, it's 318. Spanish is 354. But let us look in 318. And I will write up my new name upon him. My new name. When all becomes new, then he will take upon his a new name, and that name will be the name of the bride also. What that name is, none there conjecture. It would have to be a revelation of the Spirit given so conclusively that no one would dare deny it. But no doubt, he will leave that revelation to the day when he desires to give that name forth. Suffice it to know that it will be more wonderful than we could ever imagine. And there he writes, going downward to the right, he wrote, the thunders reveal the new name. And below he writes, below that paragraph that we read, he writes, the new name of the Lord. And he drew a cornerstone and the ages, and to the left going upward, writes everything new. And now, our brother William continues to say here, and now for the second coming of the angel of the covenant, the angel of the Lord in human flesh at the last day, he has a new name that no one knows. That name is the eternal name of God. And it is the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It is YHWH, being revealed, manifested, the way in which it must be understood, in which it must be spoken and comprehended. Notice that is why we read earlier that he says that, in other words, it is connected to the new name of the Lord Jesus Christ, which is the eternal name of God, YHWH, in the way that corresponds to its pronunciation. And he tells us here in this message, manifested the way in which it must be understood, which it must be spoken and understood. And he has a work to carry out under that name, which is the claiming work. Because the content of what he will do is in the name. In other words, that name has a meaning related to the work that he's going to carry out. In the message, God's chosen place of worship, on page 8, he tells us, paragraph 36, it says, now, when a shadow comes across the floor, when a shadow comes across the floor, you can tell whether it's a man, woman, or beast, or whatever it might be, because it casts a shadow upon the floor. And as that shadow gets shorter, the shadow being the negative, and there cannot be a negative without a positive. Therefore, when the positive comes closer to the negative is swallowed up in the positive. The shadow and the positive comes together. And that's what makes it then a positive. And he writes, the negative and the positive. And if all the old things, the Bible said in the Old Testament, was shadow of the things to come, then therefore Christ was the shadow of the things to come. So, we can see by the Old Testament types where he chose to put his name and to, for now. Now, as the shadow crossed the floor, I said it's a negative being a type, so we, the worshipers, also can see the shadow of the Old Testament fading into the positive of the new. Now, all the feasts, the holidays, all the tabernacle, all the wood, everything in the tabernacle, everything type Christ. All the offerings, all the laws, everything was a type of Christ. We've been through it time after time here at the tabernacle. Then we see by these that every creed, church, and denomination is left far behind. It's not even in the race at all. Every creed, every church, every denomination is completely left out. There is no place for them at all. Nothing is typed in the Old Testament or anywhere in the Bible of the church but the forced unity of Babel Tower. That's the only thing that types the unity. Because it was by Nimrod, a wicked man, who went out and forced all the little countries to come into one place and this great tower. It was a religious worship, of course, but not considered in the Word of God. So there is where you see the denominational religion typed. The Tower of Babel in the Old Testament, which this religion was certainly a religion, but not the religion of the Word of God. God has not chosen to put his name in any denomination. I want the scripture for it, if it is. I know they claim he has, but he hasn't. He cannot put his name in many places, because he said he put his name in one place. In that one place, each one of our denominations wants to say they are that place, but it's contrary. But where did he put his name? Now, and he, what is his name first? And he writes name. We'll have to find what God's name is before we can find what it is he is putting in the place. Now, we find out that he had many titles. He is called Father, which is a title. He was called Son, which is a title. He was called Holy Ghost, which is a title. He was called Rose of Sharon, which is a title. Lily of the Valleys, a title. Morning Star, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Rapha. Notice, and he said to the Hebrew people, I am, see? Now notice, in this other message, let us pause here for a moment, because he tells us here, in the message, God's only provided place of worship, he also tells us there. He tells us, page 15, he says, look at Martha and Mary. When Jesus had come back, after he had taught them this gospel, the light of his day, him being Messiah. There he writes, the Messiah, to the left. He was hated, rejected. Oh, the Pharisees and churches despised him. But Lazarus had died, the brother which was a bosom friend to him. He let him lay there, and they sent for him. He didn't even come. But watch Martha, her attitude. She said, Lord, if thou would have been here, give him his right title. Lord, capital L, O-R-D, Yahweh, Jehovah. He circles Yahweh and underlines it starting from Lord. And on the side he writes, Yahweh. Glory, if thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Life and death can't associate in the same channel or same house. There he writes, the channel, which we read last Sunday, where Sister, how do you write? Look, on page 24, on the message, I have heard, but now I see, she says there, in other words, Brother Branham says, And little old Hattie, he writes old women right there above. Old Hattie sitting back there said, Brother Branham, that's nothing but the truth. She said the right thing. When she said that, the Holy Spirit dropped over in that channel again. Now notice what we were reading. Every one of them felt it. There he writes, the channel, and he draws Star of David. I'm on the page 24 of I Have Heard, But Now I See. I raised up and said, Sister Hattie, thus saith the Lord. You said the right word like the Syrophoenician woman said. The Holy Spirit's speaking to me now and said for me to give you the desire of your heart. Now notice what we are reading here. Because notice, life and death cannot associate in the same channel. That is why when the elect of God enters into eternity, in other words, enters into the age of the cornerstone, which represents eternity, the seventh age represents the feast of the tabernacles, it represents the millennium. But now notice, when you enter into eternity, in other words, you enter fully into the message and you are launched into the age of the cornerstone, life and death cannot be together there. In other words, around that word, you will be transformed, like it happened with Sarah. If thou would have been here, my brother would not have died. Life and death can't associate in the same channel or same house. He would have not died. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and life, saith God. See, when he said first, thy brother shall live again. She said, yes, Lord, I truly believe that. As a Jewish, I believe that there will be a general resurrection of the dead. And I believe my brother was just as loyal and sincere in worship. And I believe that you are the Messiah that said in the Bible, because God vindicating his word in you shows that you're the Messiah. And he writes, the Anointed One. It shows you're the Messiah of this hour. You are the Messiah. I believe that you are the Christ that was to come, because your works testify that God has sent you here to be that Messiah. Oh my. Watch the cogs begin to come in place now, see? And there on the right, he writes again, the Messiah. That is, on the right he wrote, the Anointed One, and to the left he wrote, the Messiah. Now let us continue here where we paused in the God's chosen place to worship. Seven different compound redemptive names, and all of them were titles. None of them were names. But he has a name. When he meets Moses, he had not a name yet. And he told Moses, I am that I am. He writes to the right, I am. And to the left he writes, the name. And when we see Jesus on earth, speaking in Hebrew, the sixth chapter, I beg your pardon, St. John, the sixth chapter, he said, I am that I am. They said, why? You're a man not over 50 years old and say that you've seen Abraham. He said, before Abraham was, I am. And I am was the one, the burning bush, the pillar of fire that was in the burning bush back in the days of Moses. Then I am the I am. And now we find out that Jesus said also, I come in my Father's name and you receive me not. Then the name of the Father must be Jesus. And there on the left he draws Star of David and he writes the name. That's right, the name of the Father is Jesus, because Jesus said so. I carry my Father's name. I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Then his name was Jesus. And Gabriel called him Jesus. The prophet called him Jesus. And he was absolutely Jesus. Before his birth, even the holy prophet called his name Emmanuel, which is God with us. Then God was manifested in the flesh in order to take away the sin of the world. And in doing so, he was given the name of Jesus. So Jesus is the name. And the name was placed in a man, not a church, not a denomination, not a creed, but a man. He chose to place his name in Jesus Christ. Now we find out that then he becomes the place of God's worship. where you worship him. Ever before he was even born, his name was called Jesus. It was so important. Now notice, in this message, the angel who reveals Jesus Christ preached on February 7, 2009 in Lima, Peru. He says, throughout the book of Revelation, we find Jesus Christ speaking to his church and saying to her, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It was, is, and will be Christ in and through his angel speaking to the different messengers and therefore speaking to his church. Just as God said to obey the angel that he sent to them back in Exodus chapter 23, verse 20 to 23, and to hear his voice, and provoke him not, for he would not pardon your transgressions. Why? He said, for my name is in him. In other words, the name of God, where was it? In the angel. That angel is Christ in his heavenly body. On page 28 also of this message, God's only provided place of worship, he tells us there on page 28, Jesus said, I come in my Father's name, and you receive me not. You want the scripture on that? John 5:43, see? I came in my Father's name, and you receive me not. Then the Father put his own name, which is Jesus, in the Son. And he is the way, he is the door, and there he writes, every son comes in his Father's name. He is the house. He is where God chose to put his name. God never put his name in me. He never put it in the church. He never put it in the Methodist, Baptist, Catholic, but he put it in Christ, the anointed Emmanuel. And the name is in the Word because he is the Word. Amen. What is he then? The Word interpreted is the manifestation of the name of God. No wonder. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven has revealed this to you, who I am. That was to Peter. And upon this rock I'll build my place of worship, and the gates of hell can't shake it down. Amen. O living church of God, stand in firm foundation on Jesus Christ alone. You can't sing the song, but if you are not in Christ, the Word, you're a teetering, faltering sand. But upon this rock, Christ, my Word. And there he draws Star of David and the cornerstone and the ages. And he writes, who is the Son of Man today? It's a question. Now notice also here on page 30, he tells us, I have chose to put my name at the door of the house of my worship, for my family will gather it in there under the blood, like it was in Egypt. And there to the right he writes, Revelation 4:1, 8:1, 19, 11 to 20. Like it was in Egypt, anything outside died. And in there is no leavened bread. There is no denominational mixture in it anywhere. My house, my children, born of my genes. Amen. Glory to God. My genes, and he writes God's gene to the right, are in them. To the left he writes, Christ the door. I put my word in them. I'll write them upon the tables of their hearts. That's my family, the family of the body of Jesus Christ, the family. And this door you'll come in, not Methodist, Baptist, or Pentecostal, but in the door where I'll put my name. It ain't Methodist. God's name ain't Methodist. God's name ain't Pentecostal. God's name ain't Baptist. God's name isn't Catholic. Stay out of them doors then. See? See? But in a place where I choose to put my name. Now, there is not another place in the Bible given where that God even put his name only in Jesus Christ, for he is the Son of God, taking the name of God, and God's human name. There he writes, God's human name. Notice, for his first coming, but for his second coming, he comes with a new name. Now notice, that is why when Moses asked the angel, when they asked me what his name is, what shall I answer them? And the angel told him, the Lord told him, what his name was, by giving him the name which is in those four consonants, YHWH. And now from Moses, Joshua received the name Joshua, or Yeshua, which means Savior. Moses named his servant with the name he had heard. Remember what we spoke earlier. Now notice. On this card, here is where he writes. He places the vowels on top. And he writes the vowels, and he writes vowels. And then he writes YHWH, and he writes consonants. And then there he writes Jesus. And on the side he writes in Greek or Latin. And underneath Jesus he writes YHWH. And on the Y, he turns it into a J. He writes an E between the Y and the H. And after the H, he writes an S. On the W, he writes U. In other words, above that. And then after the H, he writes an S. And he writes below in Latin. And underneath that, he writes, in other words, he writes I-H-V-H. And then below he writes the letter Y. In other words, it is all together there. Yeshua. And he writes in Hebrew. And below he once again writes Y-A-W-H. And he puts the Y as a J. And below he writes I, Jo. And in WH, he writes M, soy. You will see it then on the study to avoid placing it like this, where anyone can photograph it or take it, and there are two or three things there, but notice how the I am, yo soy, who said to Moses, I am has sent me unto you, but he heard the pronunciation, and he names his successor Joshua. The name Joshua. Now, when he appears to Saul, then he adds, after the I am, he adds Jesus. I am Jesus. Notice. On one occasion, which is on page from the message Standing in the Gap, let us see, it's in the book of quotations, where he says, I'll give you an everlasting sign. Let us go there and see for a minute. That is around page 100. Page 100 or 101. It starts on page 101. Page 101, paragraph 879. And he said, I'll give you an everlasting sign again. He said, look westward from where you're at. And I looked and just saw a mountain with white caps on it. I said, I don't know. See no everlasting sign about that. He said, your name is wrote all over it. And above that, he writes William. and a Star of David to the left. There was seven peaks on top of mountain, one mountain that turned for several miles, the last mountain before you go into the other country. No more mountains after that. Now, notice on top he writes, the name William would be in all the stages of the fourth Elijah and of the fifth Elijah. For the third pool of the tent. Just as the I Am was in all the stages until entering the Promised Land with Joshua. The name William would be in the pools. The first and second pool is the I Am, or Yo Soy, and also in the third pool. But that would then be the I Am, that is, it would be William is the I Am. Now notice at this other writing. I'm going to send you this one so you can see it. Where he puts there, now remember that he promised all of this to be made known in the third pool. Notice. Here he writes. YHWH equals I am, I am. Yo soy el que soy. He wrote that there. He wrote it in English, and below he spoke it in Spanish. I am, I am, I will be. Yo soy el que soy. Yo soy el que seré. Now notice. In the Old Testament, he said, I am has sent me to you. But then that I am was manifested in Joshua and brought them into the Promised Land. That is why in the first and second pool, the name William was there and will also be in the third pool as well. Now, notice. There were seven peaks on top of mountain, one mountain that run for several miles. The last mountain before you go into the other country, no more mountains after that. And it was running from east to the west, the mountain set, and it was snow-capped on the top. The first two small peaks, and then a large peak, and then another small peak, and then a larger peak, and then a small peak, and then a great, large, long, snow-capped mountain. And I said, Lord, I do not understand what that means. He said, how many peaks are there? I said, there is seven. How many letters is in your name? Branham, Marion, Branham. And Brother William writes there above, William. Above name, he writes, William. And there was three outstanding peaks, he said. Those three peaks are the first, second, and third pool. The first one was your first part of your ministry, Small Hill. Then your first pool, pretty high, you know, sign in the hand. Then there was a little interval in there, the time that I was taking off from being too tired. Many of you remember it. And then come the discernment, the second pool. Now, I've had another, about a few years here of just kind of a little peaks. See, back like my ministry wasn't yet. And then come the third pool. There he writes, the name William, first, second, and third pool. And above, he writes also, in the drawing that was made there, the drawing that he made there, in the peaks, and he numbers them. We already spoke about this in other studies. But now notice, in the Book of the Ages, unedited, here on page 44 of the Philadelphian Church Age, there he tells us, now, what's the name of God? Paragraph 258. Now, what's the name of God? Jesus. If you want to jot this down, we're getting a little late. Jesus, Ephesians 3:15, said, in heavens and earth, all in name Jesus. You see? All right. All right now. All right. And the name of the city of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which comes down out of heaven from my God. I'll put on him, oh, if you see, it's all the same name. And to the left there, he writes, the name YHWH. You should have already caught it, see? See? I'll put on him the name of the city of my God. The city, he goes ahead and say, which is the New Jerusalem. See? The New Jerusalem. I'll put on him the New Jerusalem. Now, the bride or the church is the New Jerusalem. How many knows that? The church itself is the New Jerusalem. You believe that? And he writes to the left, Church, New Jerusalem. Let's just prove it. Revelation 21, I think it is. There what I want. All right, let's look back here so we can show you. The Bible said, prove all things. See? Now, Revelation 21. Oh, listen to this, right? Listen to this. If you want to see what this new city of his, God's name is. And I saw a new heavens and a new earth, for the first heaven and first earth was passed away, and there was no more sea. And I saw the holy city, the New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And to the left he writes, the New Jerusalem is the church. The new church is the Gentile church, the bride. The bride is a Gentile. And the Gentile has his name. He took a people out of the Gentile for his name's sake. And to the left, he writes the name. Do you believe that? If you don't believe it, turn to Acts 15:14 and find out. Acts 15:14, if you want to turn over to it, just a second. And well, then you, Acts the 15th chapter and the 14th verse, I believe we'll find it. Now, we're just about ready at the close. Acts 15 and the 14th chapter. And after that they had held their peace, James answered, saying, men and brethren, hearken to me. Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles to take out of them a people for his name. And to the left he writes, YHWH. All right, there she is. Now, I think that's just about pretty near got to the last of it. And now we're closing in saying that this is he. There he writes. Notice, there he writes. The Book of the Ages. That is this book we're reading. The Book of the Ages was edited at the light of the revelation of the seven thunders. He wrote that there. And I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is all the same, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. And the bride married to Jesus makes it Mrs. Jesus and so forth, see? And there's a place where he says, in the light of the seals. But notice later on there's a place where he says, let's see if we can find it, where he says that the thunders would be, it is in the seals, there's a place, but also here, where he tells us that it would be revealed in the fulfillment of the tenth vision. There is a note here. Notice how God gave him more and more light, and he kind of crosses out there. Or it should be in the other book, because he has three of them. where it would be revealed in the tenth vision, the thunders. Let us keep on moving. Now he goes on to say, and the bride married to Jesus, make her Mrs. Jesus, and so forth. See, there are some mighty fine women in this building tonight, mighty fine. But there's one of them that's mine. She's got my name. I hope you got that. She's bearing my name, so will his bride. And there he draws Star of David to the right, and to the left he writes William. All right, I'll write upon him, and he circles the him, and to the left side he writes him, the name of my God, which is the New Jerusalem, which cometh down, or the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which comes down from God, out from heaven, from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. I better leave that alone, hasn't it? All right, notice, him, there is singular. And he writes to the right, him. And below he writes singular. Now, if you'll go back to Revelation 2:17, just a minute, just to review it, just a second. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone, and in the stone a new name written, which no man knoweth, save he that receives it. Now, on page 34, on this same book of the ages, the Thyatirian Church Age, paragraph 34 says, and when Jesus overcome, his name was changed, and he would reveal that name. He that would be with him overcomes as he has. He received a new name, and I reveal my new name to him. And he writes, him, to the right, and to the left, a cornerstone in the ages. See? And every overcomer, I mean, among such as that, them leaders and so forth. Now, all the children of Israel didn't get their names changed. Of course. That's right. But those high leaders, when they overcome, they had received a new name. See how it dovetails in? Just perfectly. And now we find out that he also got hidden manna. Now, hidden manna is typed to be shewbread. The shewbread was for priests alone. That's right. Shewbread was just for the priest. And they, it was a special thing made for the priest. That is, the leaders. And this man overcome. The whole congregation got manna, but he got a hidden, special manna, or a special revelation. To the right he writes, hidden manna. Oh, of who Jesus was, and what about him? All about him. See? He got that revelation, if he had overcome, to the angel. Hold fast, for he that he had overcome. Addressed to the angel of the church, see? And on page 134 of the seals is where he speaks about the overcomer. Notice, to overcome the Antichrist is to overcome, notice, page 134. We all know, as Christians, that God swore to David that he would raise up Christ to sit on his throne. And give him an everlasting kingdom here on earth, he did it. And Jesus said, he that overcomes the Antichrist and all the things of the world shall sit with me on my throne, as I have overcome and have sit down on my Father's throne. See? Now, someday he rises from the Father's throne and goes to take his own throne. Now, there is already with the new name. Now he comes forth to call his subjects. See? He carries out a work, which is the claiming work. How is he going to claim them? He's already got the book of redemption in his hand. Glory. And there he writes, the throne of the Father, the throne of the Son. And he also writes, the overcomers sit on his throne, the church and Israel. Now he goes on to say here, and now Joshua represents the Holy Spirit leading the people into the promised land, which He, the Holy Spirit, has been in the midst of His church, leading His people, delivering them from the kingdom of darkness and placing them in the kingdom of Christ, in the promised land, leading them to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, to thus be born into the kingdom of Christ, and therefore, to eternal life. And in this end time, to take them to the promised land of the new body, and to the promised land of the glorious millennial kingdom. We have had in this subject, perhaps, very briefly, had these portions of these writings and these portions where we have been seeing the presence of God and the name of God. Now remember that all of that, notice what he tells us. Let us hear it from the message today. All of that is for whom? Let us turn to page 17, he says. But his coming to his bride church before the great tribulation will be a secret that will only be understood, known by the bride church, by those members of that bride church who will be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. They will have the revelation, the faith, to be transformed and taken with Christ to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And they will know that mystery of His coming to His church, the mystery of the coming of God, the angel of the covenant, to His church, of the coming of the Holy Spirit in His last manifestation with a new name. For those who are going to be transformed, they are going to receive, they are going to understand that mystery of the name and that mystery of His coming, which He said He would come as a thief in the night. And there is a group here that has received the angel of the covenant, the pillar of fire, in His final manifestation. We have received Him in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, as it was prophesied, as it was promised, forerun by the Reverend William Branham. And the transformation is for them, for those who love His coming. It's been for me a great privilege and a great blessing to be able to speak to you on this occasion about this subject, that we will be hearing and seeing the presence of God and the name of God. Let us stand. And there is a song that God gave me years ago, but it was never prepared, and it was prepared just a few years ago, which is the new name. I remember that I gave it to him, and he told me, keep it, use it later. And I found it, the sheet of paper that I gave him. It was in one of the books, and I had kept it. I was filled with joy when I saw that sheet of paper with the song. So we can sing it. I don't know if you have it prepared there with Sister Sharon, who has also sung it. And in this way, we prepare ourselves to listen to this message, which is very, but very revealing. Now remember that it is by revelation from above. There is no way that you can see it if it's not for you. But he that is of God hears God's voice, and God will continue to open your understanding, open the scriptures to you, and what you do not understand now, God shows us more and more, and gives us more light, sheds more light, because our transformation depends on that. The rapturing faith is in the thunders, and the thunders reveal His coming. The thunders reveal the name. What number is it? Jesus, his name on earth was Jesus. And by believing in Jesus Christ as our Savior, we obtain the theophanic body from the sixth dimension. Jesus, name above every name, for redemption. But when he conquered hell and ascended to heaven, he received a new name for claiming. He is the Son of Man at his first coming. He is the Son of Man at his second coming. He is the angel of the covenant, incarnate in a man, fulfilling the scriptures promised for the Messiah. His people, receiving his coming at this last day, being called with the trumpet of the year of Jubilee, we know our position in the age of the cornerstone is the Son of Man at his first coming. He is the Son of Man at his second coming. He is the angel of the covenant, incarnate in a man, fulfilling the scriptures promised for the Messiah. And believing in his second coming and in his name of claiming, Jose is giving us the faith of transformation. It is the Son of Man at his first coming. He is the Son of Man at his second coming. He is the angel of the covenant, incarnate in a man, fulfilling the scriptures promised for the Messiah. When he was told, Do you remember the name you were hunting for? Today, we know what that name is. That is why it is so and so important, as it was in the first coming of the Lord, to know what the name for redemption was, in order to obtain that theophanic body by believing in that name. and for His second coming, one is required to believe in a name. And we have already seen between what was spoken in the morning and now, we put it all together. And there we have the whole picture, which I believe that today we have spoken very clearly. And we can understand who is the one that is carrying out that claiming work, and which the name is. Because you might be waiting at the wrong door with the wrong name, and it is not going to produce the transformation for you. And then you're going to say, but I believe the message. Now, all of that has to do with the rapturing faith, which He said that in the tent, in the fulfillment of the tenth vision, it would be made known, which were all the things that He told me, you're going to talk about this there, you're going to talk about this there, you will speak about this there, and God is going to guide you. Now, at that moment, notice how that ministry grows from its infancy, and God goes on guiding him, fulfilling what was said that the third pool would be, which first would be the teaching, the revelation of the seventh seal. Well, the presence of God and the name of God. Today is one of those days where one feels like could continue speaking and speaking. But let's leave it up to here. The services, as our brother Branham said in the Book of the Seals, the teaching services are long. Now, every time as we get closer to that time, to that stage, it gets thinner and thinner and thinner. Because this is a sifter. Let us see how far that seventh seal takes us, or continues to take us to the limits. And it gets to a certain point where the last test there, which is that squeeze. Notice, Peter was tested there. At the end, he denied him. But at this end time, the elect will not deny him. But rather, they will be there until the end. Well, the presence of God and the name of God. Let's leave with us right away our beloved brother and friend, Dr. William Soto Santiago.